Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. The Lord has done great things for us. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Those who sow in tears, he who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the doubt of doubt away.
I heard my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept
into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I wait patiently for the days of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Through the fig trees do not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. Through the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food. There are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instruments.
Second reading is from 1 Peter 1, 3-9. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Keep in heaven for you who went through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be provided genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thank you. The third reading comes from Luke 2:8-12. And they were shepherds lying out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this evening. We ask that you would be with us now as we turn to your word, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive that word. And Lord, that as we hear your word, it goes into our minds and travels to our hearts. And Lord, that we're able to live our lives and display your word in our lives as we live them in this world. We ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be racing through our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we've been talking about the gifts of Christmas, we've talked about the gift of love, the gift of hope so far. This evening we get to the gift of joy. And this morning in preschool chapel, actually, I had someone ask, why are all of the other candles blue and one pink? And so I tried to describe that or explain the reasoning behind that. Because we use blue, there's really not as much difference as before when they used to use purple. I should have looked, but I can't tell you when the transition started taking place. But years ago, Advent used purple candles and purple altar pyramids. And the reasoning behind that, it was more of a penitential season, just like Lent, a preparation time, a preparation for Jesus' return and a focus on your sin and the sorrow for that sin. And so the third Sunday in Advent in Latin, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but was Gaudete, G-A-U-D-E-T-E, which means rejoice. So in the middle of this season that was penitential, that third Sunday or third week in Advent was a time that they kind of paused from the penitential part of the season of Advent to a rejoice, joy, focusing more on the joy and anticipation of the birth of Jesus. So that's why pink is the third week. Like I said, today with the color blue, we focus a little more in its entirety in the Advent season on the hope, the anticipation and joy that we have in the birth of Jesus, not as much as the penitential sorrow for sin theme. And so that's why we have a pink candle on the Advent wreath in the middle of the blue, or if people still use the purple. And so we are in the third week. We've looked over the last couple of weeks, the gift of hope, the gift of love that comes to us through Jesus. This evening, we're going to look at the gift of joy. We touched on this just a little bit last Sunday. I didn't realize how much my two sermon series that we're running, the one on Sunday morning versus the one on Wednesday evening, I didn't realize how much they were going to maybe overlap and tie in with each other. So, but I've always seen this done well, I've used some of the clips that you can find on YouTube or even various sermon helps for video clips. And I've used them in confirmation before. Who is Jesus? And people go around and interview on the street, who is Jesus, and just see what they say. Or who is God? So I thought we would just go around this evening and ask, what is joy? Who wants to go first? What is joy? Anybody want to tell me what joy is? You want to tell me? Anybody? Joy. Caden, you want to tell me what joy is? All right. What's joy? What do you think joy is?
I think joy is when you're with your family and you're all together and you're worshiping God.
Okay. All right. We're going to get some different answers than what we'd get on the street, right? Anybody else want to say what joy is? I'll walk to the back too. Oh, I see a hand way back there. I don't know if I want to walk that far. No, I'm just kidding.
I think joy is happiness.
Happiness, okay. Okay, anybody else? Any adults want to attempt at it? Okay.
It's happiness that comes from God and it doesn't change based on the circumstances.
Okay. Happiness based on God doesn't change with circumstances. Anybody? Where did I see a hand? Oh, way back there. Who is that? Trent back there? Okay. All the kids are volunteering for this. What is joy?
I think joy is when you're happy.
Okay, when you're happy. Okay. That seems to be a reoccurring theme, right? Trent, you have something? Oh, she took your answer. Okay. Man, I walked all the way back here for nothing. All right, anybody else? No? You want to? Okay. What is joy?
With your family and friends.
With your family and friends. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, one more. Okay. No? You're going to... Okay. He gave up. All right. So what did we gather from that? That joy is happiness. It's being with family and friends, possibly. And someone said something about it. When people look for joy, where do they go, do you think? Maybe that should have been another question, but we're not going to do that again. To God? To what? Food? Gives you great joy, okay? Okay, so if we think about joy, and I think we've got enough consensus on joy being happiness and joy being with family and friends, but is joy really an external thing like that? If we're happy, we're usually what? We're usually excited. There's a smile on our face, right? And everything is going the way we want it to go. But I guess what I want us to think about this evening, and it was mentioned once, can we have joy when we're not really feeling like we're very joyful. And I touched on this a little bit Sunday morning, and I was thinking about this afternoon. I went to the doctor this morning. My mom and my wife and everybody's been after me to go to the doctor because I've been having some headaches quite often, and I've been keeping a record of that on my phone and on an app. And Dr. Johnson looked at that app, and I've recorded. I know I've missed a few, but since the 1st of July to today, well, now I've got to add another one. I've had 46 headaches. So some of them are going to be 2 or 3 days in a row, and then I might have 3 or 4 days, and I thought I was doing really good. I haven't had a headache since December the 10th. Until right after lunch. And so I'm going to be honest with you right now. This is really kind of the last place I feel like being right now. And I don't know if I necessarily feel all that joyful right now, even though I may look like it and then I'm smiling. And so I guess deep down under everything that goes on in our life, can we find joy when we don't really feel like being joyful? And I think part of it comes with our Old Testament reading for this evening. The Israelites, they're talking about, it was in Habakkuk, right? They didn't have anything. And even if we don't have anything, if everything is stripped away from us, we're still going to find joy. In our psalm for this evening, the same thing. And in Isaiah, which is the verse that is actually the text for the message, Isaiah 35, verse 10, it says, "And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." And what's going on here in Isaiah is describing what's happening to the people in Babylon. I mean, they've been taken away from their homeland. I mean, everything has been crushed. They're away from the temple where they would go and meet and have their sacrifices to the Lord. Everything has been removed from them. But Isaiah is pointing them to a time when it's all going to be restored, where they're going to be brought back to their home. And so in the midst of all of this turmoil that's going on in their lives, Isaiah is pointing them to something in the future that will give them joy. And if we really think about the gospel reading, or that third reading for this evening in Luke chapter 2. It's when the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flocks at night at the birth of Jesus. An angel of the Lord appears to them and he says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you in the city of David, there has been a Savior that has been born." And that's what you will find. You will find him in a manger. And so I would like to say, we in the world today, we try to find joy in a lot of things, right? We try to find joy. We try to find happiness in maybe the friends we have, the clothes we wear, the car we drive, the school we go to, the job we have, the amount of money we make. Whatever the case is, we try to find joy in those things, but unfortunately, every single one of those can let us down. But not Jesus. When the angel says, "I bring you good news of great joy," the joy is in Jesus himself. And so let me ask you this. Where is joy. Where is it? And down in my heart. Okay, I've got the joy, joy, joy. We should have sang that song, I guess. We could pull that one off on the guitar, I think. It's here. It's here right now. It's at your home. It's at school. And it's there even when the circumstances that you're surrounded with may not be quite as joyful as you would want them to. But it's there because who is there? Jesus. He's there. He's in your life. And He is with you. And that's where true joy comes from. That's why it's the gift of joy at Christmas. Because Jesus came into the world to live a perfect life for us, to forgive us and then promise us eternal life. And I know I used it Sunday morning. I used it even Sunday afternoon at the funeral. That regardless of the circumstances that we are dealing with right now, there is something much better waiting for us. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. And that would be what I would describe as joy. Now, can you put that in a couple of words? I don't think so. Because to me, it's more than an emotion of happiness. It's joy that comes from within you, even when the external circumstances are not so joyful. And so I pray that as we continue our Advent journey and also into the new year every single day, that we can find joy deep down inside and realize that our joy comes from what Jesus gives us, forgiveness in life, and then the promise of eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand for our prayers. I might just say before we pray, I know a lot of people have asked about Darman this evening. I did get a text from Doug just a little bit before the service started. For those of you who haven't heard, Darman did have a light stroke yesterday morning, early morning, was care flighted to Scott and White yesterday around 10:45, 11-ish. And then this morning they ran tests today, and the doctor came in and told them that there's evidently a small blood clot that they are dissolving. And he had some numbness in his left left hand fingers, that's coming back. So it sounds like, and he had a good day, so possibly be back at Dove Hill tomorrow. So he made it to Dove Hill Monday late afternoon. Tuesday morning, went back to Scott and White, and probably tomorrow we'll be back at Dove Hill. So he's made a quick round trip, which is good because that means things are going well. But we remember him in our prayers this evening. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and Lord, we ask that you would continue to fill us with your joy. Lord, joy that comes, that doesn't fade away, but that's always there for us. Lord, we ask that you would be with all of those who are sick and recovering, those who are faced with challenges each day. We especially remember Darman Wagner this evening, that you would continue to bring healing to his body and recovery from his surgery as well. Lord, strengthen him each day. And we also have those that we name in our hearts this evening. We ask that you would bring healing to their bodies. Lord, we also ask that you would be with all of those who do not know you. Lord, that we can be a witness to them, and Lord, that we can bring the joy we have in you to them. Lord, we come to you with thanksgiving and joy this evening as Paul and Kathy Christensen have welcomed two grandchildren into the world, Mabry Shea and Colby Miller, yesterday. Lord, we ask that you would watch over them. We pray that they would continue to grow and be healthy. Lord, we pray all of these prayers and any other petitions that we have in our hearts and the words you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we join together in Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We remain standing for our closing.